Well, C News, Alan Tate and a crazy Carmarthen-based question from Jonah to come. But first, nine-man Connors Key, 1-0 down, fought back to win 2-1. It's the biggest comeback since Steps, and Andy Morrison's delighted.
It's a quite remarkable result and achievement. I was concerned coming into the game about certain things that we can't control. You know, we've had a perfectly good goal disallowed on half-time. You know, Scorio cameras have showed that it's over the line. But we've had to pick ourselves up, and then Jay Owen gets sent off, which is a yellow at the most. Now, I know how difficult it is for referees nowadays, because with the impact on the tackle, which is a 50-50 tackle, but when the lad stays down, squealing like a little girl, and then all his teammates come running over, the referee is put in a difficult position, and he has to be strong then and go with his first instinct. And if he thinks it's a red, then, you know, I suppose most midfielders in this league should give the game up. George is just daft, you know, completely stupid. I felt at 1-0, that we could, with 10 men, I thought we could get something out of the game. It went down to 9 men, and, you know, it's just a remarkable achievement, and it speaks volumes about what this club is about and what we've created here. Before the penalty was taken, Mike Pearson came across to me and said, if he scores, what do we do? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. Come back in a couple of minutes. Because, you know, it was about trying to get a point, because the point was huge. When I look at the league table, that point, it just keeps everything together. And then to go and score the goal, you know, and they had the warning just before that, when Ryan Wignall ghosted past two players, and the message to try to get onto them was to, there will be no pass on when you receive the ball. You have to step past the player and break forward. And we did that, give the warning, perfectly, great run from Ryan Wignall when he was fouled. We didn't get it. And then, we broke on incredible pace. And if you want any three players in the Welsh Premier League breaking, you want Bakari, Declan Poole, and Ryan Wignall. And it was fantastic, you know. And after the game, you know, I've been in the game a long time now, Nick, and I think Airbus in the playoff final, Starback in Norway, and today, that I felt the emotions that I felt in them too. I've not felt that for a long time, Nick. I didn't feel it against TNS when we knocked them out, and I felt it there today again, you know. I just felt the adrenaline bubbling in the stomach, and I just love it, you know. And it makes this job worthwhile, because it is tough, Nick, coming off the pitch. We beat TNS and we come off the pitch and there's nobody there to celebrate with. We win today in an incredible way, and, you know, yeah, we got a hardy full handful of fans that are loyal to us, but it's very, very hard, you know. But I say to the players, we are in this together, we've got each other, you know. And the character's quite remarkable. We're going to be backed against the wall now, because we got suspensions, we've got four key players out. But I tell you what, Nick, it doesn't faze me or scare me in any way, because we'll find a way. We'll find a way, like we did today. Whichever personnel come in, and we've got good players: Declan Poole, Rob Hughes, Ryan Wignall. We've got great players to come in, and and we'll have to go slightly different to what we've done before and play in a slightly different way. Doesn't bother me, Nick. I love it. Bring it on.
Jonah, Andy Morrison, rightly delighted about that. He said some interesting things in that interview. Let's have a chat about them. Had a bit of a niggle of the referees, saying that there were some suggestions that the decisions weren't going his way. Also mentioned that the hardy supporters that they've got, but they are doing it in their own way with their own players, because obviously the attendance is not that big at Nomads games. He's trying to build a sort of Millwall mentality here, isn't he? You know, no one likes us, we don't care.
Listen, whatever he's doing, he's not doing a bad job at the moment, is he? You know, he was known, you know, if you read his book, he was known as one of the hard men of football. So he doesn't want to be loved by everybody. But if you get to know him individually, and he's a decent bloke, as anybody will tell you. But he's just one of these football men who wants to do things his own way. He's at a club where they got no fans. But the fans they have got, I don't mean no fans, sorry, the fans they have got, they mean a lot to him. There's some of these clubs, Mark, you've got to realise, not every club has got, like you say, thousands of fans. In our league, for instance, you've got your Bangers, you know, and were well supported. You had your Rills were well supported. But sometimes clubs come along with only a little band of supporters, but they mean just as much. I can remember being at Port Talbot, we never had as many supporters as anybody else, but the hardcore that we had, they meant everything to us. And they obviously mean exactly the same to Morrison. The 2-1 victory, mate, it must go down as one of his greatest ever wins. Seriously, they're playing a good team. a good team in Kevin Druids, who are nobody's mugs anymore. They're top six. They got a great manager in Huey Griffiths. The goal scorer, one of the players of the year, most probably in the Welsh Premier League. He'll be up for consideration for that. Alex Modimu. Two sent off, Jay Owen and Georgie Horan. And then they just get together, the nine men, and they score two goals. Callum Morris goal and Michael Beccari, who's, you know, he's scoring on a regular basis now. And that just has to go down as one of Morrison's... Listen, he's played for Man City. He's been right round the professional circuit. He's been managing for a few years now with Airbus, coaching at Airbus and managing at Connors Quay. What a result. It must be one of his best days ever in football.
And do we underestimate at times that ability for Connors Quay to become a team and lead as a team because they don't have a massive support? And is that the thing that, look, we know it's getting tough in that top two or three to fight for those European places. Something's got to give amongst one of those three teams, Balabanga and Nomads, isn't it? Is this the edge he's got now, that he's got a team that really are playing for themselves?
I think his team, a lot of his games are built on teamwork. I think he's that type of man. And don't forget, they suffered a lot of injuries just at the beginning of the year, Connors Quay. At one stage, I think they had three or four centre-halves out. I know they got a choice now. I mean, there's a couple of decent players. Now, you watch their bench. Sometimes you can gauge football matches in the Welsh Premier and in other leagues by the strength of their benches. And they got four or five players on their benches now who get in most people's team. And that's the strength of a club sometimes. Going back to clubs, you know, with small sets of fans and having to build big mentality, I don't think TNS have ever had a massive band of followers, have they? And they've ended up as the Welsh Premier League giants. So Morrison might be looking down that route. But he's single-minded. His club are going in the right vein. And they're still in with a shout of Europe on two fronts.
Well, we've got to crack on because there's lots to fill in this podcast, because there's not many games around next weekend. So we've got to provide 2 weeks of entertainment, which will be pretty difficult for us. Now, talking about another team that would be delighted about the way they performed last weekend, Barry Town United, because they are now safe. They're playing Welsh Premier League football next season. We were going to speak to David Cole, the secretary. Apparently, he celebrated so much last night, he lost his voice. So Gavin Chesterfield's on the line now. Gav, you must be equally delighted, but at least you've got your voice.
Absolutely, man. I'm fine. But, you know, it's a big step up from Welsh Division 1 that we were used to last year. We come into the season with three players who've played in the Welsh Premier League before. I was always confident that players could adapt and grow and improve. And, you know, thankfully now we've achieved our target of safety in our first year.
And also, you are becoming, or the club is becoming, renowned as fine hosts for Welsh football, and that'll be shown in a couple of Tuesdays' time when you host that Wales Sea game. Obviously, you're not involved in the management side of it that day, so are you making the pies and half-time oranges?
No, I'll be a really interested and passionate spectator. Great for us to hold such a prestigious game. I think it's absolutely fantastic this type of fixture is back on the Welsh football calendar, and long may it continue. And I wish nothing but the very best to all the boys and the staff involved.
And what state of mind are you in at the moment, Gavin? I mean, obviously you still want to secure that seventh place, that's still not guaranteed, but are you already thinking about next season and starting to dip your toes into who's going to join you next season and plans?
No, I'm just very much focused on the next game, Mark. I'm really boring in that regard. You know, the next challenge is the biggest one, so they say. So, don't get me wrong, getting seventh position would be magnificent. But, you know, at the start of the season, it was about getting safety. Now that's assured. As I said to the lads, you know, if that can happen, then it's a bonus. But all we can do is focus now on a tough next fixture and a tough running.
We can't underestimate Barry's achievement so far, but do you wonder whether it could have been more, that they could have been top six?
I think it's stage by stage for Barry. A fantastic comeback. Don't forget, 5 years ago, Welsh League Division 3, Division 2, Division 1, back in the Welsh Premier League now. And so for them to be just outside the top six is a great, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, as we've often said on this podcast, right? And they've come seventh. They're seventh at the moment, and it looks like they will end up seventh for me. His squad have taken shape. He's taken time. Gavin, he's just he's very good at what he does. He's got Richie Williams alongside him as well, who's a very, very decent coach from the Welsh FA. He's a top man, Richie. He played for me a few years ago at Maesteg and always a great player. But they're studious in what they do. They study everything, and they got a good bunch of kids there now who they seems like, Mark, I went to watch on Friday night down at Carmarthen. They never had the best of games on Friday night. Carmarthen played really well, but they again, they're getting results now when they're not playing brilliant as well, which is, shows you the signs of a good football team and of a football club. And what Chesterfield is building there is excellent, honestly. A couple of years, I think they could be back with the big boys. At this present moment in time, they're just happy with their lot, and they've made fantastic progress over the last 4 or 5 years.
Now, Gavin doesn't like the sort of praise, does he? He's a very sort of shy boy. And to be fair, Hannah, who's also worked very hard for the club, she doesn't like the praise. They're both of them like to keep their light under the bushel. I tell you what, well, let's speak about the man who couldn't come on because he's lost his voice, David Cole as well. Another person in that organisation who's really supported them and has helped Barry Town United become where we believe they should be.
Yeah, David, yeah, brilliant, David Cole. He's like, same again, same as Gavin, same as Hannah. They work so hard for the club, but he only got to go there, Mark. It's what a turnaround in a football club. You know, it's one of these clubs you like to go after the game, and you always tend to go in for a pint because it's a happy atmosphere there. It's a welcoming place, and I think all the lads from up north and mid Wales they're glad Barry are back in the league because it's one of the top clubs in the Welsh non-league pyramid system at the moment, or the Welsh Premier League, and it's a decent place to go and play football. There's always a crowd there. They love their football down in Barry. It's a big town, don't forget, Mark. One of the biggest towns in Wales. So I'm really glad that they're back where they are, and I only see them getting better and better over the next couple of years.
I thought you were going to break in a song then. I thought we were going to have the Cheers theme. Sometimes you gotta go where everybody knows your name.
I hope you're on up for Eurovision, mate.
I wouldn't even get on Carney Gumbry. No, of course, the glee that Barry have got is probably tempered a little bit in mid Wales because it does make things a little bit hard for Newtown, and they did lose. Craig Williams is back in the seat. Happy he's back in the seat, but probably slightly disappointed at that result.
It all counts. It's good to be back with the lads. Again, another 10 minutes today. It all adds up, and, you know, crack on a Tuesday and see what we can go from there. You know, we've got, what is it, five or six league games, plus the semi-final and hopefully the final as well. You know, so 6 or 7, 8 games, see what we can go from there.
And yes, a quick note about Newtown, Jonah. You seem to think that 7th is sorted now, yeah? So it's cup or bust for Newtown now.
Hey, like you said, they've done well again. I think if you're a Newtown fan, where they are now, I think they're about right. Chris Hughes has done a great job with them again. They're in the semi-final of the Welsh Cup, like we said last week. If Newtown get to a cup final and get an 8th-place finish in the league, brilliant season for Newtown. And Saturday's result against Aberystwyth, a 1-0 win, great result for Aber again and Nev Powell. But I'm sure the both of them would have swapped that league result, in all honesty, for a Welsh Cup semi-final win. So there's a bit more to be said between them two clubs before the season's over.
I've been told by the press officer of Aberystwyth that if Nev wins the cup, he's going to be carried in a sedan chair through the town.
Well, I tell you what, he should have been carried in a chair through the town of Bangor a few years ago when he won it 3 times. He's done a brilliant. He seems to love the Welsh Cup. So, listen, he deserves everything he gets. Like I said, he was under a lot of pressure early on in the year, and I think only his experience and his know of the league have seen him come through. Still, you know, they're safe now. I think that 1-0 win Saturday will definitely give him safety, and he can put a few more of his eggs in one basket for the Welsh Cup semi-final now.
A few weeks ago, we were feeling like there was a bit of an upset in the air. We felt like Carmarthen could pull it off and could jump above that line. We feel less so that way this weekend, do we, Jonah?
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately, because, like I said, Mac, I was at the game Friday evening in Richmond, and they did play well. And, you know, their goal-scoring chances fell to the people who usually put the ball in the back of the net as well. 3 or 4 half chances, and I think the Barry fans at the end, to be fair to them, they were saying it was most probably their luckiest result of the season. They won 1-0, obviously they take their 1-0 and they were you know, really happy with it. But the Carmarthen fans, you could just see they were absolutely gutted. It most probably means Welsh League relegation, or fingers crossed about teams coming into the league. And they're a big club to go to this league, Mark. I've said it to you before. I'd be, you know, I'm disappointed to see them go out. I hope they don't go out. Will they get a stay of execution? That's down to other clubs. But it's a sad time for the old gold.
Now, you said more than that to me the other day. You said that if Carmarthen Town go down, they're the biggest club to go out of the Welsh Premier League. Are you sticking by that, or were you on the sherbet when you said that?
No, seriously, Mark. I thought, you've got Carmarthen going out with their... They've been in Europe over the last 10 years, three or four times. You know, they won the Welsh Cup, they won the League Cup three times in the last 15 years. On a par, like you, I know the ones you put back towards me, and you know you might be correct. Llanelli and Rhyl are massive clubs as well, but you just don't want to see them go out of this league, do you? Their ground now is magnificent. It's right up there with the best grounds in the league as well. Now, and I just feel, you know, personally, I'll be disappointed if they go out.
Oh no, I agree with you, but I think you've got your old gold tinted glasses on by saying they're one of the biggest clubs to go out. I think there's a lot of people around Bellevue who will have a little chat with you about that. But what I will say is, this is a question I never asked you, and I'm putting you on the spot now. See, you're getting a bit of a taste for the old management again now, aren't you? And I got a funny feeling in the water that what Carmarthen need next season to get them back up is a bit of a Harry Redknapp director of football character. You don't know anybody who could do that job, do you?
Yeah, oh, plenty. John Hulse, Tommy Morgan, plenty of the old dogs around, mate. Youngsters like us are not interested.
Mark Jonah Jones?
No, thank you, mate.
Watch this space, I think so. Anyway, there was also another interesting game last weekend, which you were at, Jonah. Cardiff Met nearly beating TNS, and then up pops the TNS new boy to score the equaliser. Let's hear from Scott Rusko and Charlie Causby.
It's always 2 points dropped because, you know, we should be coming to places like this and getting 3 points. You know, for all their sort of effort and fitness, we still need to find a way to beat them and create chances, which we did first half. So, yeah, disappointed. But then after you go 1-0 down so late on, it's sort of encouraging the character, you know, wanting to get an equaliser, and we did that. And there's always belief in the dressing room, and we're a good side. That's why we continue to dominate games. But I've just said in there, don't be giving the defence so much pressure of defence, you know, defensive duties and defending all the time on the break, on the counter. We've got to put our chance away. Ruthless, clinical, whatever word you want to use it, we've got to become more of this type of play.
Good performance, but obviously frustrating to concede at the end because we had the game plan. I think we executed the game plan very well, managed to get the goal that we were looking for, and probably could have scored more. And then obviously frustrating to lose it at the end. You know, that's a golden rule, isn't it? You've got to switch on for the whole 95, 96 minutes. So extremely frustrating, but an improvement on what we've been doing, because obviously we've been in a bit of a sticky form. Not playing so badly, but results have been awful. So nice to get something out of the game.
So, what do you reckon of that game? And more importantly, Jonah, I suppose, looking forward to next week, the only people who are working next week, as a rule in this league, are Bala and TNS, because they're going to play each other. And then next week, they're back in action as part of the bunch. How do you think it's going to go between Bala and TNS? Is this the right time for Bala to be playing TNS?
Well, at the moment, I mean, any team's the right time for Caton's team. They're beating everybody they're playing at the moment, and they'll go into the game with a lot of confidence after their 2-1 victory on Friday evening at Bangor. It was a brilliant victory. It looks like Venables is back on form, sticking the ball back in the net a couple of times, and they're on song at the moment, Ballard, and you know they could be, you know, a lot of people's favourites for second at the moment. I think we said it in the podcast before the second phase started that the points you take off TNS could determine where you finish in the league, and I still agree, you know, with that statement that if you can take 3 points off TNS or 4 points off TNS amongst the top four boys, that could guarantee you second place. So it's a big game for them.
And what did you make of the new boy who scored the equaliser? Well, not so new. He came in the January transfer window, of course.
Yes, Kevin Cooper. He arrived on the far post with a back header from, I think it was Saunders or Hudson on the front stick. He headed it back across and Cobra headed it in. it's an equaliser. He sent on a goal scorer, fair dues to Scott Roscoe. He took Greg off, Greg Draper, with about a quarter of an hour ago. And his man arrived and he gambled, mate, and he got equaliser for the Met and Christie. And I think they put in a great performance. They've had a ropey period of late. They lost 7 out of their last 8, but they were a minute away from beating TNS. So I can see the way Christian's working, and you can see the way Scott's working. Like I said last week, Scott and Stephen Evans, they're if you like, they're not easing their way to the double because they want to get it as quick as possible. But for me, in any football league in the world, if you secure a double, it's a fantastic job done. And people just tend to take it for granted. And you ask anybody else what the double would mean to them. So, you know, it's just as simple as that. But I think Christian has plans for the playoff, and they look back to form Saturday, and he looked a decent outfit again, the Met.
So we're ruling out an outside late bid from Nomads or Ballot onto the title?
Yeah, just about, Mac, just about. If you fancy a fiver or a tenner on them, I'll take your money, even though I don't gamble. But I think the title is TNS's, and it'll be over and done in the next couple of weeks.
So, still to come, some Wales Sea chat with some bloke who's managing him. I don't know where we're going to get that interview from. And we'll end with a banger from the league's formation season of 92-93. But earlier on this week, we caught up with Alan Tate, who is now leading the Swansea development squad. And they won the WPL Development Cup South against Penybont the other day. And very full of praise for how the development of young Welsh talent is going.
It's been okay, to be honest. We've had some good games where we've been challenged in a different way than what the players would get challenged in the Cat 1 programme, which can only benefit the learning. We've come up against some decent teams and against teams who've dropped first team players in and been really physical with them, which, to be a footballer, you've got to be able to adapt to all sorts of situations in any given game, and this will hopefully play a part in helping them grow as footballers.
And in the league itself, it's tight between you and Aberystwyth in the southern section, and obviously the league's been extended by 1 week now, and the final game of the season sees you playing Aberystwyth. So you say the standard's okay, but the title isn't won as yet, is it, Alan?
No, and for us, to be honest, it was never about winning cups and winning leagues and winning 9s and 10s. It was about challenging the players in a different way. Where they come to places like here on a big pitch, on a good pitch, ultimately play against lads who probably technically aren't as good, but challenge them in different ways. What we tend to do in dealing with them is liken it to FA Cup games, where you see Newport drawn with Tottenham, you see Nottingham Forest beating Arsenal, who again are not technically as good as Arsenal, Newport not technically as good as Tottenham, but on any given day, if the attitude for some reason is not right from the favoured team, they'll be upset, and you see it quite regularly in the FA Cup. So the first and foremost thing that we try and do is make sure the attitude's right. Yes, at times there's going to be ins and outs and dips in form, because at the end of the day, they're young footballers, and as a young player you do have dips, you do have troughs, you do have peaks, but they're very sporadic, and they're so up and they're so down, and it's how do they adjust to them, to how they're feeling at that current time, and get it together and try and perform on match days.
So, Jonah, everybody except Scott Rusko, Steve Evans, Colin Caton, and you having a weekend off.
Yes. Ballard are playing TNS on Friday night, so I'll be there. Or if I don't go there, I'll be sat in the house at the end of the phone, my fingers crossed, because four of our top players will be playing in that fixture. I got Ashley Morris and Chris Venables, and then obviously Colin Rawlinson and Aaron Edwards playing, so I hope they ease out a lovely 2-2 or 0-0 draw, and they just almost play touch and pass during the 90 minutes.
You haven't sent them any bubble wrap to wrap them up for the next few days?
Of course you have, mate. It's only 3 days before a big game for us, and obviously they're going to be key players. They're all got fantastic experience at big games. The four of them have played in Europe the last 4 or 5 years in a row, so they're key players, Mark, and they'll be key to us on Tuesday evening, obviously.
You haven't had any sort of FAW versus Alex Ferguson style row over players, have you?
Oh, massive, mate, absolutely massive, and I lost everyone.
Well, I'm sure everybody's supporting you. Look, let's hear from Bangor's Danny Gossett. He's in your team, and Elliot Evans from Cardiff Met about how they're looking forward to it.
But personally for me, I'm looking forward to the weekend, to meet up with the Wales squad and then play next Tuesday night. It'd be a good experience.
Can't wait now. Obviously, had a bit of business with the club before to focus on, so now I can really focus on that. I have a bit of training with Matt in the week now, and then we'll meet up next Sunday, so I'm looking forward to meeting up with all the lads and see how it goes. It's obviously a great honour. I never thought probably I'd get the opportunity to maybe represent my country now, sort of into my 20s, but it's just come at a nice time, and obviously a good time that I've been playing and scoring a few goals as well, so obviously a few people have obviously noticed that, and it's culminated in getting a call-up, which is brilliant for me, so yeah.
As we go into the final week towards that match, we must remind people it's Tuesday night at Jenner Park. I hear Gavin Chesterfield's doing all the catering because he hasn't got a match to look after. It'll always be a good welcome down there. It's a great place to have it. But intermediate thoughts now as we get closer. How are you feeling about the big challenges? Where are the big challenges going to come for you in that game, do you reckon?
I just think it's Wales against England, so I don't think you have to get people. If you have to get people up for a Wales against England clash, you're in trouble if you're a player, if you need to be, wound up for that. Personally, you should just be ready for that anyway. But, I just think, Mark, there's a lot of stake for us as a league. I think if we could produce a result against a league, which a lot of people, most, I'd say 90% of people regard as a much higher league than ours. So it's a big challenge. And if we can get the result or some sort of result on the evening and just do the Welsh Premier proud, it is a big thing, Mark. We don't want to go along there and, suffer a big defeat or anything like that, because it would be very, very disappointing. If we can go there and, like I said, again, and get a good result, it's good for the Welsh Premier League. I've backed it, like I said to you, for many years. You've backed it. There's a lot of other boys and a lot of the players have gone on and made Football League careers out of it. Owen Tudor Jones, who played in the last game, Wales played England at this level, and he went on to get a 14 or 15 year career after it. So you mentioned the likes of young Danny Gossett and the likes of Chris Hugh and a few of them. I'm sure there'll be plenty of scouts there, Mark, and it might be a chance for them to stand on and work up to higher levels. But what it's all about is getting a bit of credit for the Welsh Premier League, mate.
What I want to know is after the game on Tuesday, when we do the podcast, next podcast, are you going to be as highly critical as the manager of the Wales team as you are as critical of all the other WPL managers?
What's the old statement? Is it no comment? No comment, mate.
I might tell you what we should get one of the WPL managers on to analyse your performance.
Hey, there'll be a long list, mate.
Hey, have you done your badges, by the way?
I've done my badges, mate.
Okay, fair enough. Were they written in quill?
No, but they're done. They're done.
Anyway, so you're busy preparing for that, and we'll obviously keep up with you on that. I've got to say, if you're looking for some quality football this weekend, well, of course, you've got Ballor and TNS playing each other. But if you're lost for a game around Wales, there's plenty happening in Welsh League One and up at the Hughes Grey Cymru Alliance. I just mentioned some games I think it's worth you looking at. Friday night, Llanelli Town hosting Goitre. Oh, a great game on Saturday in the Welsh League. Avonlea against Haverford West. And Goitre United are playing Caer Ely. All of the fixtures on the Welsh League website. And then, of course, quickly mention the Hughes Grey Alliance. Friday night, under the lights for Airbus Broughton against Denby Town. That'll be worth following. And Hollywell Carnarvon, I think, my pick from the rest. Although saying that, Penryn Cork against FC Queen's Park could be interesting for me, because FC Queen's Park really do need the numbers now to stay up. Maybe they'll be able to sneak something there as well, even though Penryn Cork have solidified themselves, I suppose, in the league. Now, that's all the great football on this weekend. Wherever you go, I hope you enjoy yourself. I hope you'll join us next week. Special podcast next week, because we'll be doing international stuff. And I hope you're getting your tickets for the game at Barry Town that Jonah's in charge of. I'll leave us with a song that was playing the first inaugural season, the inaugural season of the Welsh Premier League. It was, of course, 1992-1993. And this was number one on this week in 1993, a bit like Jonah, and I bet he was raving to this on the dance floor. Too Unlimited, No Limits. Say bye-bye, Jonah.
All the best, Mark, and anybody who's around the Barry area on Tuesday night, we'd love to see you there. Thank you.
know the lads. I work real hard to collect my cash. Tick, 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 take the time. When I'm going for mine. Open your ears and you will hear it. I tell you this, cause there's no limit.
No, no.
Cause I sell out, I'm making techno and I am proud.